Revelations, yeah, 2 Corinthians, actually. We'll start 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man or woman, God is not discriminatory against men or women, amen, be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Revelations chapter 21 and verse 5. Revelations chapter 21 and verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I like the word new. Amen. I like the word new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. The help of the Lord today, I want to preach to you for a little while about the power of hope. Excuse me, the power of hope and change, actually. And why don't we pray? Lord Jesus, we ask your touch today, God. Touch our minds and our spirits with the word of the Lord. And we ask that you'd help us. Help us to understand, oh God. Help us to comprehend, Lord. Speak to our hearts and our minds, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated if you'd like. New Year's, as I said, has many varying effects on people. Not everybody thinks about it as a time of, I've got a new breath every day, which we're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you've seen some of the horrific accidents I've seen over the years, or people, I was shocked to read in my high school, they've got a thing on Facebook now, and some people that I know no longer are alive, and from what I understand, some of them is cancer, some of it's car accidents, and so on and so forth. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. Too many people live for today. I was listening to, I was watching the ball drop on the internet last night, New York City, and stayed up with my wife, and I was watching the ball drop, and there was a man at the end, began to sing an old John Lennon song. It says, imagine if there's no heaven, imagine if there's no hell, imagine people just living for the day. Well, really, that's a horrible thought. Because when you live without God for the day, you don't know what you're going to do. Really, the ethics and everything that we have is based on the Judeo-Christian ethic. If there was no heaven and there was no hell and all there was evolution, then survival of the fittest and chaos would reign because man would not be an inherently good creature. Think about it. If he was an inherently good creature, why do we see all the violence and why do we see all the hatred in this world that we see today? It's because man has that sin nature. They rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. And today, we are bound by sin. Amen. Except to those that have been born again, been set free. So take a look at your life today, and how would you describe your life? Is it contented? Is it rushed? Is it exciting? Is it stressful? Are you moving upward, going backwards? Don't know where you are? Everything's confused, holding back? Sometimes perhaps it's all of these, sometimes just one of two. There are things that we dream of doing one day, and there are things that we wish that we could forget. Anybody have anything like that? I do. I've got things that I've done in my life, and I wish I hadn't done them. I wish I could forget them. And we all have that. Perhaps it's sin. Perhaps it's not. Perhaps it's just bad choices. Not every choice that we make that goes wrong is sin. Sometimes it's just bad choices. Sometimes it's the Lord taking us through the valley, too. In the Bible, I'm glad that it says that Jesus came to make all things new. Amen? So if you look back at your year and you don't have the opinion, Brother Longa, that every day is new year for him, then you can say, you know what, Lord, this is my January 1st, and I want to just leave 2011 behind, and Lord, I want to make a new start. And the Lord will let you do that. He'll let you do it every day, actually, but he's merciful. Amen? What would your life look like if you could start over with a clean slate? The Bible talks about a world beginning with the creation and a beautiful garden. Two blameless people that walked and talked with the Lord. And they were truly innocent. They didn't even know that they were naked. But it didn't stay that way. Did it not? If you try to go out naked outside, they'll arrest you and put you in jail. At least in most places. They chose, though, to turn away from the Lord, and sin entered the world. They knew what was required. They chose to do something different. And with all that, that's why we call it the Adamic nature, that there's guilt, there's shame, there's regret, and humankind is no longer blameless. Some people think that, you know, that baby is born white as snow, but it is born with what we call the sin nature. And the only way to break that sinful nature is by the born-again experience. Amen? Now, some people grow up, and they're inherently good. I mean, it seems like, at least, the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's nobody that can say, I'm so good that God would accept me. Just not there. But we look at them and we say, you know, that's a pretty good guy. That's a pretty good girl. And, of course, other ones grow up. And we're like, man, that person's going to be a serial killer one day. And I don't know why everything turns out like it does and people turns out like they do. But humankind is no longer blameless. But God still loved the world so much that he created and sent his son to redeem it. Amen? And I'm glad that I have the revelation of that relationship that God has. He didn't send, as I've heard preached before, he didn't send Jehovah Jr., praise the Lord. The Bible says, and maybe you can put that up for me, Brother Stephen. First, I believe it's 1 Timothy 3:16. It'll say without controversy. It's either 1 Timothy 3:16 or 2 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Are you there yet? No, you're not there. All right. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for who? God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen of angels. God, well, the Bible says God is a spirit, does it not? So how did God preach to the Gentiles? In the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. That's why, and go back to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 tells us, unto a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. You know, people got a problem with us saying that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Yet the scripture here tells us the child would be called the Everlasting Father. So evidently, people may have a problem with it, but God don't have a problem with it because he put it in the Word. Amen. Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Isn't he wonderful? He's our Counselor. He's our Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father manifested in the flesh, and he is the Prince of Peace. He will bring peace into your life, just not like the world thinks peace is there. But Jesus came and died and rose again. And what happens? That's why I love baptism so much. Now, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen through him, with him, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. When Jesus died, he was scourged, he was tormented, finally, of course, nailed to the cross for humankind's sin, from everybody's sin. Amen? There was nobody that he didn't die for. I hate to tell you this. You think of the worst. Think of the prophet Muhammad. Of course, for us, he started the religion of the Muslims. God, Jesus died for him. Amen. He just didn't accept it. And whatever the case is, it was all part of God's plan to bring anyone who would come back into right standing with God. The standing that we have with the Lord, that we have the ability to have, is not based on us very much. Now, you can't trample on the blood and all the rest of that stuff, but really, we can never get good enough for God. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to be better. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't live holy. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't do what we should do to live for God. But in the end result, the Scripture tells us that all our righteousness is as filthy rags in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 1, I believe it is. So all we can do for the Lord is offer up our best. And that's what we try to do. Amen. We try to offer up our best for the Lord. We try to avoid sin. We try to avoid unrighteousness. We try to avoid immodesty and so on and so forth. And we try to live as a child of God in this life. And that's what we ought to do. But when a person is baptized, it says that through the faith of the operation of God. I'll talk to you just a minute about having faith in the operation of God. See, a lot of people say, well, I've been born again. And they'll say all kinds of stuff. And for example, Jesus said in John chapter 3, the first 7 verses, he said, except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Jesus died, and anyone can accept what he has for us, but they just can't passively accept it. They have got to accept it just like I'm just trying to think for a second. I wish I had a $100 bill. Jonathan, how are you doing? Hey, Jonathan, you got a $20 bill? Yeah. Anything bigger? No, you nothing? Dollar bill? $5 bill? $10 bill? No cash. Man alive. 20, you got 20 here? Let me have it. All right. Okay, somebody here has a $20 bill if they get up here and get it. All right. Sorry, brother Tayo. I'll give it back to you later. What did Jonathan do when I offered that $20? He came up and got it. What a lot of people don't understand about the things of the Lord is it's something that you have to come and get. When we talk about being born again, it's not something that says, you know what, I'm born again. A lot of people live faith. They say, well, I have faith. Okay. So, I've got faith too. James said it like this. He said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, what I do with faith. Very similarly, it's just like with Jonathan. He came in empty, and he's been blessed at Brother Tayo's expense. But hallelujah. But the born-again experience is not something you just say, okay, preacher, I received it. Said faith in the operation of God. Why do you get baptized? Because you have faith that this is the way that God works. Why do you get the Holy Ghost? Now, I asked Sister Dazel this morning. I said, well, so somebody comes up to you and says that, whatever, they got the Holy Ghost. They got healed, so they got the Holy Ghost. What do you tell them? And I told her, I said, go to Acts chapter 8, where it talks about the great revival that Stephen had. And it tells us that they were healed, they had faith, devils were cast out, they were baptized, they believed, yet none of them had received the Holy Ghost. Not one. And the Holy Ghost is actually something that you have to, it's not hard to get. See, I'll be honest, when I got the Holy Ghost, God just poured it out on me. I received it. That was it. Some people just struggle with it. They're like, I got to get it. A lot of times, I don't know if you've ever felt it, sometimes I can feel a spirit around a person. It's like they're going to get the Holy Ghost any second. Can I have a witness with that? All they have to do is just open up and receive what God, just grab it, just like Brother Jonathan did. And all it has to do with is this is the faith that I, the way that I understand God works. One of the problems that we have today is that people do not have a good understanding of the operation of God, which is how God works. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Isaiah chapter 5, and I'm gonna take my time a little bit today. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, they that follow strong drink, continue till night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the vial and the tap. In other words, they're partying, right? Feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Now, I chose the King James Version. Sometimes the new versions are a little bit easier to read, but they lack some of the depth that the King James has. And here, in some of the other versions, it says something different. But here he talks about they neither consider the operation of his hands. Of whose hands? Of God's hands, of course. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and the multitude are dried up with thirst. Now, he's talking about people that go out and party. You know, some folks got a problem, and they say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about, you know, drinking alcohol and stuff like that, and it doesn't say a whole lot about it, but you've got to understand the operation of his hands. And there's a lack of an operation, understanding of the operation of the way that God works in that area, because we choose not to put ourselves under the influence and if anything that will take control of us. So that's one of the concepts that's in the Word of God. Now, notice what he said in this reading. He said, my people go into captivity because they have no knowledge of how God operates. Could I safely paraphrase it like that? Yeah, I can. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 also links baptism to faith in how God works. The lack of knowledge in how God works causes many to go into captivity. This is why people accept teachings that are not found in the Word of God. You might find some, we've got some Bible college students here today, am I not mistaken? And you might find some of your friends down the road, they might walk away from truth. When you understand how God works, and you see something happen contrary to that, then you understand it's not God. Amen. I think somebody read the scripture today. I don't know if it was Brother Etienne or Brother Soonan in the Bible class. But it talks about those that say that, you know, we've cast out devils, we've done many wonderful works in your name. And it's Matthew 7, 13, and 14, also going over to Luke chapter 13, which I'm not going to take the time to go to today. You taught in our streets and so on and so forth. They didn't understand how God works. They saw a little manifestation of something, and they thought, that's the way God's working. Well, no, that's not the way God works. God is a very methodical God. He works according to his word. He will not contradict his word. Amen. He's very methodical like that. So the Bible also tells us that the devil has his own signs and lying wonders. So if God is not allowed to work like that because of the constraints of his word, where are things happening from? They're not happening from the throne of God. So you got to be careful about that. That's more than I can explain today and more than I need to go into. But the knowledge of the operation of God is critical for the believer. And notice he said in 5 and 13, he said, my people are gone into captivity. Not the sinner, not the heathen, But the people of God go into captivity because they don't understand how he works. One thing you ought to seek the Lord during this time, of course, we're going to start some fasting and prayer over the next 21 days. And one thing that you need to pray that God will help you to understand is the operation of God, how God works. When you understand how God works, you'll be saved a lot of grief, a lot of confusion, and so on and so forth. Sometimes the operation of God is contrary to how we understand, contrary to our thinking. Let me give you an example. And turn, Brother Stephen, kind of follow me through this. Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through 27. Have you ever heard of the phrase, being made master of much? Well, that starts with being master of not a little, but very little. Very little. All right. He said, therefore, certain noblemen went into a far country to receive for himself the kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants. He delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Well, 10 pounds is not a whole lot there. I mean, I could use to lose 10 pounds. It wouldn't be a whole lot off of me because I could use to lose about 60. Of course, he's not talking here about weight. But in the 14th verse, his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, you know, went through whatever it was, came back. And of course, this is all a type of Christ being crucified on the cross and coming back when he has his triumphant return. Amen. So down to the 16th verse, then came he first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10. And he said unto them, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Everybody say very little. Now, here you'll see the word money mentioned, and why does God use money to do this? Because that's the hard part for a lot of people. They got a hard problem with money and finances and so on and so forth. But your very little is the key to your faithfulness. And of course, he's not only talking about money here. It can be applied to a lot of different things. If you're being used in the church, be very faithful for what you have. You say, well, I don't feel it's very significant. Well, God will increase you down the road if you will be faithful in the little bit that you're doing. Amen. As far as the Bible I read says a man's gift opens up room for him. We always get worried. Well, you know, I'm not being used. You know, this, I have more talent, more ability. Well, obviously, God don't think so. Because if God thought so, you would be doing something different than you're doing now. What you got to do is quit whining and let the Lord accomplish. Now, I've got experience in this. I hate to tell you. I can tell you because I'm not ashamed of it. But there was a time I was pastoring. We'd done home missions work, and the Lord told me to go sit under a preacher. And he was not what I would consider. He didn't have people skills. He really didn't. You know, people get worried about, well, you know, the pastor, if the pastor was this, baloney. You look at Elisha, forget one of it was, and the little kids come up to him, they're bald head. He sicked a bear and the bear ate him. Doesn't sound like he was didn't have a real good, you know, rapport with kids where he could say, oh, your kids are just having fun. It doesn't sound like his people skills were too great. But I sat under that for 6.5 years, almost 7 years. And I was rejected, and it was a really horrible situation. But God spoke to me. God continually spoke to me until the time came when the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to leave, and I'll show you where he wants me to be. Of course, that was right here, and it wasn't too long after that we started this church and so on and so forth. But sometimes we need a little humility. Amen? So if you feel like that God is not using you like you think you ought to be used, or man, excuse me, let me rephrase that. You think that man is not doing what you think they ought to be doing. Maybe you need to talk to the Lord and ask him what he wants to accomplish in your life. I had almost 7 years of it, so I understand what I'm talking about. Amen. You can either say amen or oh my, but it's the truth. And the second came in the 18th verse, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, you're going to be over 5 cities. And another one came, saying, Lord, here's your pound, which I kept, and I laid it up in a napkin, for I was afraid of you, because thou art an austere man, the 21st verse. Thou takest up thine own mouth, and will I judge thee, and layest not down, reapest what thou did not sow. In 22nd verse, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. The Lord wants some increase out of us. Now, whether that increase is personal growth, soul winning, and he also wants us to support the house of the Lord. We do pretty good with that, so we don't have too much of a problem with that. He tells us in the book of Malachi, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And you say, well, all I got is a little. Well, that doesn't matter to God, because God can make you master of much. The reason some people never get really blessed is because they never learn to be faithful in the little bit that they have. Amen? And believe it or not, I don't like teaching on money, don't like talking about it, so on and so forth. Anybody that's in this church will tell you that I generally, one of the other brothers, elders, will teach on it. I just don't like doing it, but because everybody says the preacher's a money grubber. Not here, but out in the world. And that's not the case. It's the way that God operates. What did he say? He said, muzzle not the ox that treads out the corn. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the preacher. The preacher needs to be free to do the work of the Lord. If it wasn't for your generous support, I couldn't be free for the next 21 days to fast. Amen. You say, well, I'm going to fast. Well, you're going to do a Daniel's fast or something else. I'm going to do a little bit of a more extreme fast. But I couldn't do that if I was working. Amen. So there's things that I do. There's no way that I could do them. My wife and I have discussed it many times and said, I don't know how I had time to do anything when I worked. So don't begrudge the preacher for treading out the corn. Don't muzzle him. Amen. Should the preacher get blessed, don't get jealous. You know what my attitude is? If you come up, remember Brother Etienne, when you came up driving that brand new car, what did I say? You remember? What did I say? I'm so glad the Lord blessed you. Right? Amen. You ought to be glad when your brother and sister gets blessed. Amen. You should be happy. And I don't know why I'm saying this, so. There's nothing special happening right now or anything like that. But should your pastor get blessed, you ought to be happy. Amen. You might say, okay, Lord, where's mine? But be faithful. God will do some things. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the faithful man shall abound in blessings. Now, I know some people say, well, I'm faithful to God. I read the Word. There's more to faithfulness just reading the Word. You've got to, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, wait a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Just give me a minute. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. That's what happens when I get ahead of myself, when I've got notes. The 27th verse is a very interesting verse where we read in Luke chapter 19. It says, but those mine enemies which I could not, or which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. When you're faithful, I'm going to read a scripture later on if I finish what I'm talking about. that talks about those that you're strong in the Lord shall do exploits for him. When you're faithful, there's some victories that are going to be won that would not be won if you were not faithful. Okay, so with that, go to Luke, Matthew, here we are. No, that's the scripture I was talking about. Thank you for following me along, Brother Stephen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Anybody been through a stock market crash? If 2000 had not happened, or if 2001, 9/11 had not happened, I might be in a little bit better state than I am, because after 9/11, the stock market crashed, and I ended up inheriting a little bit from my mom and dad. They lost probably 40% of everything that they had in that stock market crash. Didn't lose everything. But if they laid it up somewhere else. Now, the Bible's not against investing. It's not against saving. But who knows what the Lord could have spared them from, because my folks were not really believers. They were very upset with me for living for God. But when you lay up your treasure in heaven, is what it says in the next verse. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And moth does not rust, nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break in or break through nor steal. So part of what we do when we give unto the Lord, when we bring our tithes into the storehouse, what do you think you're doing? You're laying up treasure in heaven. What do you think you're doing when you take a role in the church? You say, I want to see people saved. I want to win souls for you. I want to clean the church. I want to teach. I want to do this, or I will do this, or whatever the case is. You're laying up treasures in heaven. I may not be able to pay you, but believe me, there's a payday coming when God is going to take care of you. Sometimes God will take care of you right here. Amen. I'm amazed at, you know, all the cost of business and so on and so forth. When you're, and Brother Etienne, you can also attest to this. When you're a businessman for yourself, and being a pastor is not much different, the expenses are amazing. Is that right? Do you have health insurance? You do? You? Good. Good. I haven't been able to have since I quit my job, because of the expenses and so on and so forth. And we don't think about that, all the costs that are associated. So, you know, I'm not always able to do what I would like to do for folks. Sometimes I'll take them out to lunch or whatever else I can do. But believe me, God sees that. He sees your labor as sacrifice. He sees your willingness to work in the kingdom of God. Don't you think that God will not take care of you? He will. Amen. So don't get all bent out of shape over little things, amen, because God is the one. He's the judge. He's the just one. He's the one that provides anyhow. I'm not Gary Jira, the Lord your provider. I wish I could be. You know, sometimes I've said to the Lord, how come, Lord, you don't bless me so I can support every missionary that comes through, so I can support every project, that I can help anybody that needs to be helped? Because that... He's Jehovah Jireh. I'm not. And he also has things he wants to accomplish. Now, I got to move on, because I didn't mean to talk about this stuff in detail like I'm talking about it. Is this all right today? I guess not. We'll be all right. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. The Lord does not separate financial faithfulness from corporate worship faithfulness. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. So let me provoke you a little bit with verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Most churches are trending away from God. They're trending towards less worship, less services. But the word tells me so much the more in verse 25. What does that mean? It means be more faithful than you ever have been before because you see the day approaching. Anybody see the day approaching? There's some crazy stuff happening in this world. Iran wants a nuclear bomb. Israel has said, well, if you guys don't take care of it, we're going to take care of them. What do you think they're talking about doing? They're talking about nuking them till they glow. Where does the Bible tell us that Armageddon is going to take place? That part of the world. It talks about during Armageddon that flesh is going to melt off the body. What do you think they saw in that prophecy? They saw nuclear war. The day, I don't know when it's going to be. You know, sometimes these things go on for a while. And, you know, we had the Russia in the 60s. I remember. Anybody remember in the 60s going to having bomb shelter drills? I remember that. So I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. But we see the signs. We see things that are going to take place. And he says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So what do we do when we see these things come to pass? Be more faithful than you ever been before. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. You ought to jump up and say, amen, come on, brother, preach it. Amen. Is this all right? I'm getting a few more all right, so maybe they'll outweigh the other ones. Now, I don't think anybody's mad at me. You all know I love you. Don't you? Amen. So, have more church than you ever had. We started our Sow the Word project, but it's also for us. And this fits so beautifully in with the bread chart. Brother Etienne also read the scripture. He didn't know what he was talking. You know, he comes up to me and says, well, where is this scripture found? Well, it was one I was going to read, so I knew where it was. I know where it is anyway. But the Sow the Word project, we're going to put those things together by the end of the fast, and we're going to start putting them out in places, and we want to see the Sow the Word of God. It's good for us. I also feel it beginning to change our church a little bit. But instead of putting on some carnal music in your car, ouch. I don't do it, so my thing is talk radio. I don't know why anybody would want to listen to Imagine There's No Heaven. Imagine There's No Hell. That's a horrible song. And I grew up in the 60s and I used to love that. Or I'm just born that way. Well, the only way you're born is in sin. Somebody said, well, is, you know, are homosexuals born that way? The only thing I can tell you is the Bible says we're all born in sin. And each one of us needs to get on the nature of God instead of the sin nature. So don't get so hung up. Personally, I don't believe they're born that way. But that's a whole other issue. But instead of putting carnal music on in the car, pop in a CD of the Word of God and bless your soul. Amen. Or copy it to your iPhone or iPad or iPod or whatever you take to work, and you're sitting there on the train or you're sitting there waiting. What do you do? Blah, 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 blah. Might as well open up the Word of the Lord. You can listen to it. Amen. Sooner or later, I'll have it on podcast too, and you'll be able to just get it right on your phone instead of CD. We've got to do everything today. I'm going to have a CD rack soon, and I will be putting in midweek Bible study in there. If you cannot be at midweek Bible study, if you can be at midweek Bible study, you ought to be there. I only got one amen. Not even my wife said amen. Where is she? My daughters are always there. Can you at least say amen? I heard Sister Yvonne said, amen. It's because she wasn't here Thursday night. I might have to beat you. I don't know. We'll see. Sometimes there's legitimate stuff. Sometimes we're just lazy. Amen? Amen. But whatever the case is, if you can't be there, pick up one of the teaching CDs. You say, well, you think you're so great? No, it's not about that at all. It's about sowing the word. It's about hearing, faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The more you listen to the word of God, the more it's going to build your faith. You know, you might have a trouble. You say, well, I don't have confidence in myself. Well, you'll get confidence through the word. Because the word will help you. It'll either condemn you. Sometimes the word will condemn you. And tell you, you know, you need to make this thing right. And you make it right, then you got confidence. Amen. I got a guy, I tried to teach him a Bible study up by my house. He says, I don't want to know what the Bible says. No. I want to know what the word says. Amen. Even if it steps on my toes a little bit. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord. Now, if you don't understand, there is a famine in the land of the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of Word of God out there, but it's the broad gate word. You understand what I'm talking about? He says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. One of these famous preachers, I won't name any names, you might have heard the news report. They pigeonholed him. I think it was, who's that guy? I forget. I can see his face. He's kind of a white guy. Is Christianity the only way? Well, I'm sure if good Muslims live their way. I got no problem saying Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Come on, amen. Amen. So you're listening to somebody, and you'd be surprised if you listen to what some of these guys say. You ought to really check them out. If they're sitting there telling you something false in that, you know, there's many ways to God, then what in the world are they teaching you? Come on. Amen. I want to get off this. I want to get going. So the Soul the Word Project will personally help you build your faith. Understand the operation of God. He has chosen to build faith by hearing the word. And, of course, we've got the getting the word in, and we've got listening to the word. It'll help you. It'll help you build your faith. I hope everyone can participate in the 21-day fast that we're starting today. Somebody said, when are we starting the fast? I said, today. They said, oh. There's different ways to fast. Daniel was 85 years old when he wrote the book of Daniel, or when he fasted in that thing. So he did what we call the Daniel's fast. There's also another sheet on the back there that outlines the Daniel fast, a little bigger print. I gave it out last week, but if you want to do that, then it will help you. But let me tell you something. Fasting will change you if you take it seriously. I heard the testimony of one Christian who had a desire with like an alcohol, and prayed and fasted that God would change their body so they wouldn't like it. And guess what happened? God did. He's the God of making new things. He's the God of change. Not changing the word. He'll never change the word. It says, forever my word is settled in heaven. You know what he'll change? Me. You think you're so good that you don't need to be changed? I need to grow. I've been living for God 32 years now. In 3 months, it'll be 32 years since I got the Holy Ghost. I still need to grow. I still need to get closer to the Lord. Don't you tell me that you reach your pinnacle and you have nowhere else to go. Am I being mean today? All right. Yes? Who said yes? I heard somebody say yes. Anybody go, I don't have my glasses on. See, that's why I wouldn't wear my glasses. So if somebody's scowling at me, that used to bother me when I was first preaching. I'd see somebody scowling, and I kind of lost my track of thought. Now I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see anybody. It works great. I can hear things, though. But fasting will change you if you'll let it. If you'll seek the Lord, God will change you. And that's who he's looking to change. He's not looking to change his word. He's looking to change you. Amen. The Bible speaks about the weapons of our warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. I know now why. it seems like we haven't had any visitors for a little while, but it seems like the Lord is trying to take us in a little bit of a different direction. Are you feeling that? I feel that. He's trying to alter course a little bit. So, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How many weapons are there? I got Bible scholars here. How many weapons are there? Five. Can you guys tell me what they are? You guys are Bible college now. Come on, you got to tell me the five weapons of our warfare. One weapon of our warfare? Prayer, fasting, the word. What else? There's three more. Anybody got another? We got prayer, fasting, and the word. What else? What does preaching do? Builds faith. So in that sense, yes. Faith. Okay, there's two more. Weapons of our warfare. Prayer, fasting, word of God, faith. Nah. That's involved with faith. How does the Bible tell us in the book of Revelations that we overcome? The word of your testimony. Is that not what it says? It says the word of your testimony, you're going to overcome. So what does that mean? That means that the word of your testimony, when you tell someone of the goodness of the Lord, they may have no faith in God. They may say, God is not real. But you go up to them and you testify to them and tell them your story. And don't you think that God can defeat the works of the enemy? That's a weapon. One more. This is a hard one. Five. One more. Repentance. Well, what do you mean repentance? What does the Bible tell us about godly sorrow? It builds zeal. It builds confidence. It lifts condemnation. Don't you know how many of you are under the condemnation of the devil right now? You feel like, well, you know, if I was this or if I was that, and the devil's sitting there on your shoulder condemning you, telling you how no good, how low down you are, you're just a nothing, you might as well just give up. Am I preaching now? And the Word of God says that if you will repent, you can lift that condemnation off of you. Well, you say, well, Pastor, it's, you know, I've been baptized and I've sinned. The Scripture said that there's no sin that's unforgivable. Except blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I thought about it for years, and I think my friend is right. He says blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is not believing God can forgive your sin. Think about it. If God can forgive any sin, how come he can't forgive yours? You say, well, you don't know. No, no, no. You just take that faith, you add it to the Word of God, and you accept God's forgiveness. And move on. And when the devil comes to you and tells you you're not worthy, you just look at him and say, there's no one worthy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're right, devil. I ain't worthy. What else you got in your arsenal for me? So we got our five weapons. Weapons of our warfare are strong and powerful. They will pull down strongholds. You know, you may know somebody. They've got a stronghold. The Bible tells us these weapons can pull them down. Think about it. You may have a stronghold in your life. You may have things you don't want to talk about. You're caught up into. The weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Just like the testimony I told you, the fellow that liked alcohol, and he was like, God changed me. He used the weapons and God changed them. Come on. Can I get a witness? Amen. Let me talk to you for a minute. Do I got more time to preach or should I quit? Okay. You say, preach it, that'll work. The power of a willing and a made-up mind. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. I think the willing mind is where people lack sometimes. I've thought about this many times, and when I've got the Holy Ghost, I was a sinner boy. I was doing drugs, alcohol, smoking, chasing wild women, everything. I come to church, I go to altar, repent, God delivers me from all that. Next night I get the Holy Ghost. Yet somebody else right next to me, it took them a long time to get the Holy Ghost. Why? Why do some people never get delivered? The heart is not willing. They may say, I don't want to do this no more, but there's something inside of them. Say, I really, you ever feel like that? I really don't. Because when you will move, when God says to move, I preach a message called the gift of repentance, and God will grant you the gift of repentance. And that gift of repentance for me was deliverance. Amen. People struggle sometimes because they're just simply not willing to have a willing heart. In every decision a man makes, the human will is involved, is it not? Amen. When a man truly purposes in his heart and makes up his mind to do something, there is nothing that can detour him except for death itself. The power that lies within our own human will to be or not to be is extraordinary. The human will plays a vital role in our success and our failure in the kingdom of God. The more we are willing to align ourselves with his will, with his mind, with his thoughts, with his emotions, with his desires, align those things with the word of God and submit to the grace of God, which is the enabling power and the divine assistance of God, the greater our accomplishments would be. Come on, amen. We've got to have a willing mind. We talk about fasting, and some people are like, oh my God, we're going to fast. No, we all say, you know what, I'm mad at what the devil's doing to me. I want to take up my weapons. I want to slash him. I've told you about a friend of mine. I knew him back in 1983. Man, the devil's beating him up, beating his family up. Terrible things happened. Came in acquaintance with him again a couple of years ago. What do you think is happening? The same thing. Why? Because somewhere along the line, the man never learned to get up and kick the devil in the head. And you do that by exercising the weapons of your warfare. Don't sit there and take it. Don't sit there and say, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do because I can't overcome. I'm telling you today, through the grace of God, through the power of God, through the weapons of a warfare, you can overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Learn to lean upon the grace of the Lord and receive the will and determination you need to fast. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Fasting is not easy and can be physically challenging, even a Daniel's fast. If you don't believe me, go without coffee for 2 days. Go without a nice steak. What do you like? What's really nice dish in the Philippines that everybody's like pancit? Pancit? Is that correct, Berlio? Yeah? Go without your pancit. I'm going to include pancit, Lord. Now, pancit, if you look at the ingredients, pancit's kind of, you know, goes along with the Daniel's fast, but Lord, I'm not going to take pleasure from my food, God, so I'll do Daniel's fast, but I'm going to give up my pancit. Amen. Think about what you like. Personally, I like steak. I like ribs. You can tell I do. I like fish. I like cookies. I like ice cream. I like cake. I haven't been eating it much lately. I can get us real hungry by the time we leave here. Amen. But there's got to be something inside of us that says, God, I want to get a hold of you, Lord. I don't know what it is, but there's something about when Daniel got down. As Scripture says, he made up his mind. that he was going to seek the Lord. You've got to have a willful heart and a made-up mind and a burden and a desire. God, I want to overcome, or I want to see somebody else overcome. And there was something that happened that day when he made up his mind to seek the face of the Lord. And the scripture says from the very first day that God heard his prayer. Don't you think we've got our prayer list? Don't you think that God has heard these things right now? There's got to be some willing hearts. I talked to you last week or 2 weeks ago. I can't remember what it was, probably about 2 weeks ago. And I just feel impressed. I got a whole bunch of other stuff, but I feel really impressed to revisit this. The Bible tells us 10 shall chase 100. Isn't that it? Or 1 shall chase 10. I forget what it is. And 100 shall chase 1,000 or 10,000 or something like that. But chase what? We're going to chase us some devils. And when you get the power of unity behind, and you may say, well, I'm not good enough. Don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you you're not good enough, because it's not you anyway. The Bible tells us it's not by grace. I mean, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his Spirit. And if he told us, if we will take up the weapons and use them, that we could have victory, it's not about you. It's about unity. It's about getting together. Let's chase some devils together. Come on. Hallelujah. Put it all together. One of the greatest battles you will ever fight in your walk with God is your strongholds. Bringing your mind, will, thoughts, emotions, intellects under subjection of the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit to rule your flesh. And your mind comes through much breaking of the human will. That's how it comes. Fasting will help you in developing the humility of mind and of a poor and a broken spirit. Amen. Some of the hindrances to fasting. I just got 10 more pages and I'll quit. No, I don't. Let me see what time it is. And somebody say hallelujah. He's looking at his watch. Yeah, I've gone a long way. I've gone a long way. But just give me just a few more minutes and I will get through this very quickly. If you have headaches while fasting, decrease your intake of caffeine gradually and eat foods with fewer additives. Monosodium glutamate has been known to cause headaches, or MSG, if you can help. Oftentimes your prayer life may seem hindered by fasting. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's times when I'm fasting, I can't barely pray. But I can read the Word of God. I can open up books and so on and so forth. God has blessed every time. God has blessed every time. So don't even worry about that. I'm going to move on from that a little bit. Some goals. As previously mentioned, it's needful to have a burden and a purpose when you fast. And our burden, our purpose is revival. We've got a prayer list. We've got some goals. We want to see some things happen. We want the Lord to do his work. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's not about glorification of me, glorification of his flesh, of the church, or anything like that. And I told our church, I've told you this before, I will tell you this again, we have something to be proud of. We don't have a lot of people here today. But if you look at the history of the United Pentecostal Church, we are the only church in this area. There have been other churches. Every one of them has failed. Every one of them has gone wacky. But we stand here. We stand here strong. We may not be a lot of people, but I want you to take pride in that, a godly pride in that, and know that God is working in the midst of his people. And if we will seek his face and do his will, he will open doors. Amen. You just got to get doubt behind you. You can believe it and receive it, or you can doubt it and you can do without it. How about you? Praise God. Sister Evanson, why don't you come? She's probably back in Sunday school, or my daughter's going back there. Thank God. Love my daughters. Amen. Brokenness of heart, repentance, and salvation of souls are God's first priorities. I also had Isaiah 58 in there. We don't have the time to go through all this. CD's almost over. See, I'm on a leash. It's being taped today, CD, so I think I have enough. If everybody wants one, you can get them. Amen. You might have to wait to the second round, but we're going to make a total of 19 today. So you always benefit when you purpose in your heart to fast and completely submit your mind to the Spirit of God. I think I just have to be done. I have to be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Now, if you're pregnant or you're sick, then please be very careful what you do. You're under no obligation. But I would like to see everybody that will to join in this fast. The Daniel's Fast gives you a way to do it without killing yourself. You can do one meal a day. You can do sunrise to sunset. I know Brother Soon wants to fast very desperately with us because of his weight. He cannot, but he might be able to do the Daniel's Fast. I think that's why Daniel did it when he was 85 years old. Because when you're older, it's not as easy to do things. I wonder, has the Word of God touched anybody today? Has the Word of God ministered to you today? If it has, why don't you come and just step out and just kind of gather around the front and begin to pray, begin to seek the Lord. I can tell you, if 10 different people step out, God ministered to 10 different needs. That's the miracle working power of the Word of God. Let's use the weapons of our warfare. They're mighty, 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 mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you seek the Lord? Maybe some of the men, you can gather with the men, ladies with the ladies. Begin to pray for one another and ask the Lord to impart strength and impart anointing.